Join me in the book of Mark, chapter 4. We again go into the parables, the few that are mentioned here in the book of Mark. Join me first at verse 1 of chapter 4, and then I will move through the chapter, getting to verse 21, but join me first at verse 1 of chapter 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables. Now, please move with me to verse 11. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given you." Now, if you would, please go with me to verse 21. He said to them, "Do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear," he continued. "With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this, God's holy word. Now, this is, as I said in the children's message, as is the title, as is the subheading here, if you have an NIV, it is the parable of the lamp, parable of the light, it might be referred to. I ask the question, we do often ask the question, why parables? You know, Lord, why did you teach in parables? They're a little challenging, they're a little tough. Why parables? I would like to read to you from one commentator, one teacher in this way, and he says this, answering the question, why parables? "Christ was speaking to a mixed multitude. There were those who received his teaching with open hearts and those who spurned his truth and persisted in unbelief. Rather than trying to weed out the believers in order to instruct only them, Christ set his teaching before the crowds in the form of parables. Those who had hearts to believe would embrace the teaching and seek to understand further. And those who rejected it, even though they had heard, would not understand at all. In this way, parables withdraw the light from the rebellious at heart who hate the truth and give light to those who believe and love the truth." The implication of this is profound, he writes. "More than a mere preaching device or a powerful teaching tool, the parables of Jesus Christ are actually designed to help us see whether illuminating grace is on the move in our lives. They function as little tests of faith, beckoning us to see and believe and obey the truth of the storyteller. Parables are very complicated by design. Again, parables help us see whether illuminating grace is on the move in our lives. They function as little tests of faith, calling us in to further truth." Now, here in this parable of the lamp, first of all, the first question we must answer is, what does the lamp represent? Well, we're very comfortable with that, the children's story and all of this. We're very comfortable with this. The lamp represents the Word of God. Now, particularly in this context, as Jesus has given earlier, and I read again, it is the message or the secret of the kingdom of God. Look at the secret, the message of the kingdom of God as an illuminating light. Now, also, this parable is related to the parable of the seeds. Now, if you remember the farmer and the seeds we covered some time back, The farmer casts out seeds. The seeds, of course, are the message of the kingdom of God. The soil in that parable represents the hearers. And there were four different types of hearers. Some seed was thrown along rocky path, along the path, along the rocks, along the thorns. But then there was good soil. So the farmer and the seeds and the soil. The farmer, Jesus Christ, casts out a message, the message of the gospel, the kingdom of God, and we are the soils. Well, here in the parable of the lamp, Jesus is asking, with the light you are given, with the message you are given, what kind of lamp are you? How do you receive this message and what do you do with it? It's the same thing as asking, what kind of soil are you? And what do you do with the seed once it's thrown to you? They're very close. The major question here in both parables is simply this. As hearers of the message, as hearers of the secret of the kingdom of God, what do you do with it? Are you one of the four soils? What do you do with the lamp? What do you do with the message? The parable asks, do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Let me give you an illustration to point out Jesus' point here. Brief illustration. You're sitting at home one evening, the sun is setting, and you have no means of light in your home. And so with the sun setting, it's getting dark. A man appears outside your home. And outside your door, he is selling oil-filled lamps. You rush out to meet the man selling oil-filled lamps, and you purchase a means of light. The man offers and does light your lamp for you. You thank him, and you return to your dark home. You step inside, and the question immediately becomes, where to put the lamp? Where to put the light that you now own to remove the darkness from your home? It's a decision you must make. Where are you going to put that lamp? I know, you say to yourself. I do a lot of work under the table. I'll put that lamp under the table. That would be a good place. Well, let me stop there. I've made the point. How silly, how illogical would it be if I were to take one of these candles and put it under the table? As Michaela said, it'll catch it on fire. How illogical is that, putting a lamp under a bed or under a bushel or under the table? That is simply what Jesus is asking. What do you do with the lamp? Rather than putting the lamp illogically under a table or under a bed, under a bed or a bowl or a table, we should set that lamp in the most prominent place in our home. Why? So it will do the most good. If you have one lamp in your home, you're going to put it in a place where it shines the brightest throughout the major portion of your home. It's logic. You see, this is Jesus' point. And he's making it in simple illustration. We have received, the people who stood here and heard this message, we as well have received the greatest message ever given across the earth. The greatest message ever spoken by a man. We have heard it. It is written here for us. And what do we do with it? It is a message that has the greatest impact in mankind. And you do nothing with it. I do nothing with it. Oh no, I do something. I put it under a table. Meaning, I hear the message, but then I try to hide it. Yes, I'm a Christian, but I try not to act like it all the time. You know, my friends won't like it. As I said to the kids, we should be standing on the roofs, screaming at everybody that goes by, do you know who Jesus is? Oh, but they think I'm weird. Oh, they think I'm one of those radicals. Oh, Here's a title. You're one of those fundamentalists. Folks, we should receive this message. We should live by it. We should have it so prominent in our lives it impacts, affects, infects everything in our lives. Because it is the greatest message. It should shine so bright that it removes every portion of darkness in our homes, in our lives, in our families. It should shine so bright that there's not one place that its light does not penetrate. The light should shine so brightly and have such prominence that it reveals, that it uncovers everything. Because you see, that's the point. It's uncovering. It's revealing. Because Jesus follows this little simple parable, this little simple illustration, by saying in verse 22, "For whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open." You see, if the light of the gospel, if the message of the kingdom of God does not reveal things now in this life, it will reveal things in the life that's yet to come, more particularly the judgment. Jesus says, whatever is meant to be concealed, whatever is hidden, all of it will be revealed. In our sin, we try to cover things up. We try to make excuses. We talked in Sunday school how sin in our family is not really sin. We make excuse for it. We try to cover it up. We have little secret sins in our lives, and we try to cover it up, meaning if our spouses don't know or those closest to us don't know, then that's okay. You know, but we can't cover those things up. We will be unsuccessful because God says everything will be brought out in the open. One day, whatever is concealed will be seen. Whatever you hold now as a secret sin will one day be revealed. The question is, will it be revealed by the light of the gospel now? Or will it be revealed by the overwhelming glory of God in the judgment? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5. I'll read it to you. Just hang on. Don't go. Paul says, "Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts." We think we can get away with our thoughts. We think we can get away with our little evil plans. We think we can get away with our little secret sins. Nobody has to know. But God will expose all of this, either in this life or in the judgment to come. And as Jesus says here, if anyone who has ears to hear, let him hear. Look with me at verse 24. Verse 24, just the first portion. Consider carefully what you hear. Consider carefully what you hear. Now, this does not speak only to content. Now, content is extremely important. What we take in is typically what we put out. So, content is extremely important. But this is not speaking only to content. It's speaking also to action. This word consider is a very heavy, very filled word. Some translations say, take heed, as you would a warning, or as you would advice. If someone gives you a warning, stop. Not only do you hear the content, but I pray you stop. So content plus action is what this word consider means. Consider carefully what you hear. We're not only to listen to good content, but then we are also to take appropriate action based on the content given. That's what the word here says. Back to the parables. Are you good soil? Do you hear the content? Do you hear the message? And then do you reflect that good soiled nature? Here, the parable of the lamp. Do you receive the word and allow that light to shine? Are you considering this message appropriately, or are you just hearing it, walking out the door and saying, that was not for me? Consider carefully what you hear. Now, as Jesus is apt to do, as I said, this simple little parable gets deeper. And as Jesus is apt to do, he goes further now and he gives practical application to his teaching. I love this about his teaching. He doesn't just simply say, he gives it feet. And he goes into relationships. He goes into our relationships. Not only has he said now, consider carefully what you hear, but now he moves and starts applying it to relationships. For he knows that how we relate to each other with our spouses, with our friends, with our enemies, how we relate communicates. Our relationships will reveal how we have considered the message. Our relationships will reveal what we have done with the lamp. If we have been taught something in church, the kids have been taught something, you school teachers, you are asked to evaluate what you teach. Well, that does two things. It evaluates your teaching, but it also evaluates the learning. And you can see in the actions of the children whether or not your teaching has hit the mark. All right? Our relationships is doing the same thing, are doing the same thing. The word that we have considered carefully is now coming out in our relationships. Jesus says in the latter portion of verse 24, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Serious, heavy words. When a person listens to what is not appropriate, when a person listens to things like gossip and rumors and unbiblical teaching, or I've got one for you, all of the talking heads on TV today, I mean, folks are making millions of dollars because the gullible people are saying, oh, she's good, oh, he's right, and boy, there we go. If we listen to that, if we follow that, if we consider that teaching carefully, then we are going to act based on that teaching. We tend to measure others according to the way we've been taught. If we listen to the gossip, then we're going to measure that person according to the gossip we've heard. If we're going to measure someone, we might listen to the rumors. And our measure, our evaluation, our relationship is affected. When we listen to the wrong sources, when we take the wrong food in, then our measure, our evaluation, our conduct, our relationship with people will be affected. But, as Jesus' point is here, if the light of the gospel penetrates our lives, we are much more likely to respond to the others in the same way Jesus responds to us. And how has Jesus responded to you? Truthfully? Biblically? With integrity? With honesty? With love and grace and mercy? Consider carefully what you hear and be careful how you measure others. Because as this finishes saying, for the same measure will be used for you. So now we're getting close. And he has more. And even more. at the end of verse 24. Look at those three words. Whatever measure you use, that same measure will be used for you, and even more. Words of hope or words of fear? How do you treat others? That's how you'll be treated, and even more. Words of hope or words of fear? Whatever our actions towards others, whatever measure we use, whatever relationship we have, that will be given to us, and even more. Even more will be used for us. But then, as Jesus does, He keeps going. He keeps going and pushes further. He pushes further. A stark reality is now given in this simple, simple little parable. Look at verse 25. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is a sobering, sobering, eternal fact. Whoever has the light, whoever has received the light of the gospel, whoever has received the message of the kingdom of God and takes that message, considering it carefully, and bears fruit out of that message, who measures others properly, whose relationships are based on biblical text and are growing, bearing fruit, whatever that person has in this life, more will be given. Whatever you have, more will be given. God is a God of more. His middle name is More. You like this much? I got more. You want this? I got more. More will be given to you. But for those who have only the wisdom of this temporary world and try to live their lives according to the popular psychology or the popular ways of today, even that will be taken away. Whatever goodness you have because you live on God's green earth, and that is a goodness, and that is a blessing, and that is God's grace, even that will be taken away from you. And you will have nothing but utter darkness, never having the lamp and its light. Those who have only the temporal things of this world, that will be taken away, and for all eternity they will be surrounded by the cold darkness of death and evil. Those who have will be given more. And for those who have not the gospel, even the briefest of blessings of God on this earth will be taken away. The light, the lamp, the seed cast out by the farmer, the message of the secret of the kingdom of God. How do you hear it? How do you receive it? How do you consider it? How do you measure those around you? As one who has received the light, and shares that light in that relationship, or as one who knows only darkness? Consider carefully what you hear. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken. Gone. The lamp of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I pray, as we sang in the little children's song, don't hide it. Don't hide it. Let it shine out. Let it shine out. Because it shines out the way along the path. Let it shine out and direct you in your way. But also let it shine out so that people can see. People can see you. People can see who you are by the light of that gospel. He who has ears to hear, please hear.